Welcome back, friends, where we are going to spend some time together today diving into the middle part of the Sermon on the Mount to see what wisdom we can gather for how to stop worrying and actually enjoy more and more and more of our Christian family life, the day-to-day, our marriage, our parenting. The Lord has good and glorious plans for us. And sometimes those hard emotions, the worry and the stress, it can really get in the way. And so today we're going to take a look at four sections here coming from Matthew chapter 6 that can help us set the worry aside and start trusting God more with the good and the bad so that we can enjoy those relationships more. So I'm so glad that you are here today. This is episode 191 of the Love Your People Well podcast, a podcast that is all about enjoying family life and deepening those relationships, building them in a way that is healthy and happy and holy and life-giving for you and everyone else in your home while we're keeping Jesus at the center of it all. And that's why we're turning today into the Bible, getting right there into the scriptures together to pull out pieces of wisdom for those emotions that can get in the way. How do we handle them? How do we move past them with the wisdom and the grace of God? So I'm glad that you're here. If you're new to the show, welcome. My name is Jess, and I am the host of the Love Your People Well podcast. But I'm also a wife and a mom of four little ones, little ones, they're ages four and under. And I am a marriage and family therapist and spend a lot of time helping moms, including my friends, including myself, work through these hard emotions that can so easily steal our joy from our family. And that's why I'm passionate about exactly this type of conversation. And bonus points, if you're here in the U.S., this episode is going live on the National Day of Prayer. And we are kicking off here in Matthew chapter 6 with a very famous section where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And this is the first piece of the puzzle that we see here in the Sermon on the Mount about how we can stop worrying and start trusting God more. My friend, we can pray. It is so easy to say we're going to pray for something, and yet often instead we're spending a lot more time thinking about it, worrying about it, stressing about it, maybe planning for it. But the actual prayer process is not always as present as we might hope that it is, or imagine that it will be, or sometimes even think that it is. I think sometimes we worry about things and we tell ourselves that is prayer, maybe because we're using God's name in that thought process. But prayer is the experience of trusting God, of laying things in His hands, whether it is good or bad, and letting Him handle it. Now, here in chapter 6, Jesus is telling His disciples and telling us how to pray. He's saying that it's not about, you know, standing on the street corners and praying loudly. It's just about a private, personal moment between you and your Heavenly Father. And of course, there are dozens of different ways we can pray. It's not like a prayer is invalid because you said it out loud, or you prayed with someone, or you're having dinner with your family and you're praying. There are very different types. There's a wide variety of prayer. But when we think about how do I handle these big emotions, the worry and the stress and the struggles that I face as a mom, how do I give that to God, start trusting Him more and worrying less? This is the secret sauce for our prayer life is to get that one-on-one time, that regular, reoccurring conversation with our Heavenly Father about the things that matter. I like that these verses tell us we don't have to keep babbling like the pagans, it says. We don't have to think we're going to be heard because we have so many words to say. We don't have to think that it's all about, did I say the right words, the magic words? There are other scriptures later in the New Testament that talk about how the Holy Spirit will groan on our behalf when we don't even know what to say. God sees the inner workings of our heart. He sees that posture, that attitude of, am I laying this issue before God and trusting Him with it? Or am I tightening my fist around it, holding on tight, trying to handle it myself? I might say a lot of words or a few words, but it is that attitude and that submission to the Lord that makes the difference. And then the prayer that Jesus gives us as His example is very famous. It's the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And, you know, obviously different translations might say that a little bit differently. And we're not doing a deep dive today into the nuts and bolts of prayer, but this is a wonderful guide for us. And I think that we do see that trust in God through the good and the bad. The daily bread, the debts, but also, you know, how we are hurting others, how they are hurting us, the temptations we struggle with. All of that is under this umbrella of just taking it to our Father, praising Him and asking His will to be done. And I'll insert here as we wrap up our look at prayer, and we'll move on to the second piece here in chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew about helping us stop worrying and start trusting. If you're struggling with prayer, I would really encourage you to grab one of my free resources at loveyourpeoplewell.com/free. You'll find quite a few, but one of those there is the Holy Habits 45-Day Bible and Prayer Challenge. And I've written out that 45-day guide to give you some practice getting in the Word every day, reading the Bible, thinking through what it means, praying for the things that are most important to you. It's very practical. It's very straightforward. And if you really do it for 45 days, you will build that muscle, build that habit of spending time with God. Let me interrupt our conversation just for a moment to invite you to join me over in the Faith Fiver Club. This is our private community where every month we go deep into a different topic of family life. With a private podcast, a personal workbook, month by month, encouragement and resources. Join us at patreon.com/loveyourpeoplewell. All right, let's get back to our conversation. So one of the key ways that we stop worrying, we start trusting God more, resulting in more enjoyment of family life, is we pray and we give our struggles to God. But the next section Jesus highlights is he talks about fasting. And I'm going to go out on a limb and make the guess that you probably have not done very much fasting in your life, in your spiritual relationship with the Lord. I know I haven't. It is not a very popular thing in especially the Western Christian culture, but it was an expectation in biblical times that fasting was a part of one's relationship with God. But what I want to highlight here, as we're thinking about how do we stop worrying, or at least worry less and trust God more, fasting can be a part of that. But I think the big takeaway that I see when I think about fasting, especially as Jesus describes it, that it's not about fasting and making sure everybody knows it, because I mean, back then they would disfigure their faces and, you know, put ashes on themselves, and it would be very visibly obvious to people when they were fasting. And Jesus, just like his focus on prayer was about the personal relationship with God, he says the same thing here about fasting, that you should not be showing the world that you're fasting. You should be fasting while you wash your face and you take care of your hygiene, and nobody needs to know except your heavenly Father. And when we fast, and I have done some fasting, particularly just a few months ago in the Faith Fiber Club when we did a month-long challenge on spiritual disciplines. And one of those was fasting. Once a week for the whole month, we practiced fasting from something. And if you want to do that 30-day challenge, it's now available in the shop on the website at loveyourpeoplewell.com. Fasting was only one of the 7 spiritual disciplines or habits that we looked at. But one of the main reasons people fast, there's obviously a lot of spiritual components to it, but physically, we realize how much we need the things God gives us. We are hungry. We are thirsty. And if you're anything like me, when you're hungry, you get cranky. You are not at your finest. And it really puts a spotlight on how dependent we are on God and the things he gives us, the daily bread that we're praying for day in and day out. Now, maybe you want to try the challenge of fasting and that 30-day challenge on the spiritual habits and disciplines would be one way to go about practicing that. And of course, you always want to consider health considerations and things like that. But even bigger than the actual task of fasting is us being intentional about remembering and centering our life on our dependence on the Lord. We can really easily, I think, get distracted by, am I feeding my kids enough vegetables? Are we all getting enough sleep? Did we put on sunscreen before we went to the pool? All the things for our health and for our life and for taking care of people. And that stuff can stress us out at times. We can get really worried about it. But at the end of the day, everything we have that we can offer to our families, that we can use to take care of our families, all of it is a gift from God. Your job, your finances, your food, the roof over your head, the bed that you're frustrated because your kids won't make it in the morning, all of those are gifts. And the more we allow ourselves to be thankful for those things and to lean into how dependent we are on everything the Lord gives us, I think the more we can enjoy the things that the Lord gives us. And fasting is a very practical and tangible way to remind ourselves of how dependent we are on the Lord, but it's not the only way. But let's keep moving through Matthew chapter 6 here and considering 2 additional pieces for how we can stop worrying and start trusting God and therefore enjoying family life more. These next 2 sections are some of my favorites here in the Sermon on the Mount. So we looked at prayer, we looked at fasting, and the next section talks about treasure. And Jesus is telling his disciples, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he continues by talking about how our eyes are the lamp of the body and no one can serve 2 masters. We either love money or we love God. That's kind of the my summary point here for this little section about our treasures in heaven. We cannot equally love and prioritize and pour our energy and emotions and hopes and dreams into the things of this world. How clean is my home? What kind of school are my kids going to? Are we taking that awesome vacation this summer or not? Do we have the things that we hope for and want? We can't pour equal energy into that and into growing our relationship with the Lord, trusting Him, being dependent on Him. If I think back through the Beatitudes, right, that we are poor in spirit and we're mourning and we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. In the Faith Fiver Club right now, we're looking at day by day for 45 days. How do we live out those Beatitudes? Absolutely none of that has to do with the things of this world, with what money can buy or the treasures we might enjoy on earth. It is all 100% about enjoying the things of God, the relationship with God, the knowledge we have of God and with God. And if you're listening to this podcast because you're struggling with worry or stress or overwhelm or any of those hard emotions that are so common for Christian moms, along with everybody else, but you know, hey, that's who we are and we struggle with it. So often we struggle with it because something in our heart is chasing after things of this world. When if they're chasing after the Lord, there's no need for worry. There's only peace. There's no need for stress because the Lord is the one we are resting in. And that is a challenge, I think, for all of us. If we are treasuring God, we're going to be worrying less and trusting more and resting in Him and enjoying family life more because it's not on our shoulders. We can enjoy what He gives us without stressing about it and striving for it and treasuring it. And then the last piece we will look at today is this last section here in Matthew chapter 6, which in many Bibles has kind of that little header of do not worry. Now we're talking today about don't worry, worry less and trust more, and you will enjoy family life more. So obviously this section is very, very on point for that topic that we are looking at. And it's a beautiful section here where Jesus is highlighting how God takes care of every single one of His creatures. He takes care of birds. He takes care of the flowers in the field. How much more so is He going to take care of you and me and our husbands and our kids, the people who God created in His image, the people that He gave His Son's life to ransom and save and bring back into His family? There is absolutely nothing we need to worry about because God has got all of it under control. And a lot of times, I think this is very closely connected with what we just talked about around what are we treasuring? Because for most of us, at least here in the U.S., you know, we're not struggling day by day wondering, what will I eat or drink or wear, which are the questions here in the scriptures. We're not worrying about that from the angle of, am I literally going to have food to give my child? Do we have any clothes that we can put on our bodies that are not covered in holes? Now, certainly there are people in the world that do have those questions, and those are very high priority questions when you're living at that level of poverty, but most of us are not. I know for myself and the moms that I hang out with at church or in the Momco group, formerly known as MOPS. I'm a part of that here in our community. They're changing their name to the Momco. But the moms that I hang out with, when I look for myself at the pantry, I'm not wondering about what will we eat, as in, do we have food? I'm wondering, should I use the mac and cheese out of the box? Or should I make it from scratch? I know my kids won't like it as much, but it's healthier. Do I have time to do that? Do I want to do that? Should we even be eating dairy at all? I mean, those are the type of questions most of us, like, that's the level of this type of worry. And my friend, the Lord has already counted every hair on your head, your children's head. He has every day of our lives already written in His book. And we want to live those lives, those days well. We want to be wise. We want to be purposeful in how we care for our family. But we do not need to carry the burden on our own shoulders of every single moment of our life, our child's life, every conversation with our husband, every single moment being perfect. That is not on our shoulders. And if it is, if we're worrying about things that not that we can't influence them, but we cannot control them, and they are not ultimate, final, like the biggest thing in our life type of decisions, and yet we worry about them, we stress about them, and they steal our joy from day-to-day life, from our relationships. And I just love how this section here closes, where Jesus has talked about, you know, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, don't worry about what you will wear. Life is more than that. God takes care of the birds, He takes care of the flowers, and He will take care of you. And then He closes here in verse 33 and says, but seek first His kingdom. So He's talking about God. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There's a lot of things I love about those two verses. And I've mentioned them before on the podcast, and I'm sure we will go deeper into them again in the future. But right now, we are wrapping up our conversation thinking about how do we worry less and trust more so that we can enjoy our family relationships. And these verses tell us what to do. So we have already seen we need to be praying and trusting whatever God's will is. We need to maybe be fasting, but certainly be intentional about recognizing our dependence on God and the things He gives us. We need to be treasuring God instead of the things of this earth, the money and the house and the clothes and the cars and the social media presence and all the things that can distract us. We're not treasuring that. We're treasuring the Lord. And that is how we escape the trap of worry and stress. And we actually enjoy life. And that closes here. I think all of that really points to these verses that if we are seeking God's kingdom and we are seeking His righteousness and we're living intentionally for today, He's not saying, don't worry about today. Don't be intentional about today. He's saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, you can handle tomorrow, but each day has enough trouble of its own. He's completely realistic. Of course, our Lord is. He knows that your life, you know, managing the communication dynamics and the conflict and the emotions and the homework and the date nights and the schedule and all the chores, He knows that there is plenty of trouble in family life. There are plenty of things to do. Things that are good and valuable, and we want to be intentional about it, but we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to stress about it. If we're seeking God and we're striving to live for Him, to trust Him and be dependent on Him and thankful for what He gives us and treasure that relationship with Him, He will give us the things we need, and we will be able to enjoy them rightly and enjoy that family time, those family relationships. Whether you're in the good moment or the bad moment, we can still find joy in it if we are seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness first. So I think that is the perfect place to close. We are not quite done with the Sermon on the Mount, so we will be back next week and wrap up this look at the Sermon on the Mount. And I will remind you as well, we're kind of right toward the middle of our Faith Fiver Club 45-day challenge on living out the Beatitudes, which is why we've been diving into the Sermon on the Mount, because I've been spending a lot of time preparing that challenge with daily readings and activities to try around those first opening verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who, those Beatitudes. So we're still walking through that together in the Faith Fiverr Club, and I would love to invite you to join us there. That is in our Patreon community, patreon.com/loveyourpeoplewell. It's really a great and simple way to support the show and help me kind of, you know, cover the costs of the website and hosting a podcast and those kind of behind the scenes things. And you get a ton of extra perks. There's a private podcast. There's that monthly deep dive personal workbook to walk through a 30-day challenge. Although this one, I was so excited about it. It's a 45-day challenge. Diving into different topics around family life. And right now it is living out the Beatitudes. So we have one more week here on the podcast looking together at the Sermon on the Mount as a whole. We will wrap that up next week. But you are definitely still invited to join us over inside the Patreon community to go deeper into those 8 blessings that start off the Sermon on the Mount. And I know I already mentioned as well one of our earlier 30-day challenges that has now been kind of revamped just a little bit, and it's for sale on the shop. So head over to loveyourpeoplewell.com, grab the freebies, look through the devotionals, the 30-day challenges there, or get first access to all of that inside the Faith Fiverr Club over on Patreon. So many different options, so much good stuff. But through all of that, you don't have to do any of that to seek God's kingdom and seek his righteousness and enjoy family life. And that is my ultimate prayer for you and for everyone listening to this show. So may God bless you and your family. We will be back next week with more biblical encouragement and practical tips for loving your people well. So until then, hugs and blessings to you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. I'm so glad you joined me today for this episode of the Love Your People Well podcast. If you found it helpful or encouraging, please leave a written review to encourage me, but also to help the show grow. You can even copy the link to this episode and text it to a friend. Don't forget to grab all your resources at loveyourpeoplewell.com and join us inside the Faith Fiverr Club for extra perks every week.